I reached out to you, Rob, because you reached out to me. You had a great question. And I think this is just a great topic that so many other people who are getting into adventure riding or thinking about getting into adventure riding are going to be really, really interested in. That question was what to expect getting into this. So why don't you lay into me? What do you got for me?
I actually think this question is something that's good for people who ride motorcycles. I have lots of friends who ride road bikes that don't ride adventure bikes. And when they come across roadworks or a dirt road, they get scared. But what the crux of it is from someone with my experience, which is predominantly road racing and track racing, jumping on a bike for the first time and hitting a dirt track, everything is different. And it's how to understand what you have to do, what to expect from the bike moving around under you. That's perfectly normal, and don't worry, you're not going to fall over. To give you some background while waiting, I mean, my background is I'm also new to road, but I'm also a returning rider, if you like. Racing bikes, I many, many years ago had a bit of a nasty accident on a track. Then I slowly drifted away from bikes for probably 15 odd years, and in the last 18 months returned and wondered why I left in the first place, because I enjoy it so much.
I think you have a very typical story as far as guys getting into the off-road, where we ride for a while, we leave, we come back. The question you had is, what should people expect when they go off-road? The interesting thing about questions, when most people ask me a question, they already have an answer in their mind, and they're usually looking for either a confirmation or they're looking for something extra. So why don't you tell me, as somebody who's much newer to being new than I am, what should they expect?
I think the biggest thing, I mean, there are two big things that I see. One is everything kind of works the other way around. Grabbing handfuls of front brakes and things like that don't seem to work very well off-road. And just getting used to the fact that it's okay for the bike to move around under you, which riding on road is probably not something you want to have happen too often. You like to have the bike feel planted.
I used to agree with you. And yes, you have to allow the bike to move underneath you. And that's the biggest thing. Street riders make terrible dirt riders. Dirt riders make great street riders. And that's part of that. It's that movement underneath us. One of the things I really work on when I do training is not going for formulas. I try to get away from that as much as possible. Go, let's get down to the brass tacks. What's really happening with the motorcycle? And what occurred to me when I started breaking things down between street riding and off-road riding was that the same forces are there. The same rules apply, but in different ratios. If you cook, you have spices. If I put salt in, it's going to taste a certain way. I've put a lot of salt in. The salt still has the same taste, but it takes over. And that's, I think, the biggest difference with going off-road versus on-road is being able to accept those exaggerations that we're not accustomed to when we're on the street.
Yeah, and I also think, I mean, correct me, I might be wrong on this, that I think there has to be a certain higher level of finesse in the way you control the bike off-road. You can probably get away with a larger throttle input on-road than you can off-road without it going wrong, say.
There's definitely some very significant reactions or differences when you have inputs. You know, if you add a lot of throttle in a corner on the street, you might just launch through the corner, and off-road, you may spin the back tire out. But to kind of back up and see if we can help some people out, all those that are listening in and going, all right, so you want to get into this, you want to try it, or you've gone down a gravel road and you went, that just scares the heck out of me, is to back it off and go, all right, things are going to feel different, but nothing's really going differently. As an example, the first thing that people are going to notice, and again, you're closer to being new than I am. So if I'm off, go, Brett, I think you're too far removed. But it's the movement. It's that you get out there and all of a sudden you feel that front end moving left and right. You feel the back end squirming around underneath you. And then the immediate thing that we do as new riders is we pucker up and we grab a hold of everything. You know, we grab a hold of that seat with our rear end. You know, we suck that up in there. I mean, that's why they put buttons on cruisers, you know, so it gives your ass something to hold on to. And we tighten up on the handlebars, which only exaggerate the movements and make it worse. And that's what people don't realize is when you get back down to the dynamics, you know, all right, let's just go down a gravel road, straight line, street bike, Harleys, it doesn't matter. The first thing is that front end going back and forth. And what they don't realize is the tire does exactly the same thing when they're on pavement. But because it's such a high traction environment, and because the tire can self-correct so quickly, and they're going at a much higher speed, the movement is so subtle, most people don't feel it. They don't know that that front end is moving left and right. When you go off-road, that tire moves, it shifts a little bit more. And if you're in gravel or anything that slows down its ability to recover, I talked about rake and trail. It's something like I just talked about on the video for the bridge. And I did another video on just why bikes don't fall down. And I'm going to do it again in the future because it's a core aspect of riding is it slows down its recovery. So you start feeling this movement left and right and people tense up to control it, not realizing what they're actually doing is inhibiting the ability's bike to correct itself and they're making things worse.
Yes. And as you say, the bike moves around on the road like it does on the dirt. On the dirt, I think it moves around a little bit more or you feel it more, but that little 1 inch that the rear tire moves, being new to off-road, feels like it's 4 inches.
Absolutely. And we're going slow and the bike isn't as stable. The first thing you do when you got in gravel is, oh, this is scary. You throw your feet out and you go slow. Everything wrong. Because we don't know any different. We've never done it before. What are some of the tips that, or the things that you heard as a new rider going, okay, I'm going to go off-road. This is what I've heard or seen. What was your experience your first time that you got off-road in the realities of that? Or some of those tips that you just came out and said, wow, that made all the difference. I survived because of that tip.
Probably the biggest one is controlling the bike, you know, gripping the bike between your knees and having a relaxed upper body. Catching myself when I found I was white knuckling the handlebars and stopping, shake it out. Okay, let's move. Also, not being afraid to go, you know what? I'm going to turn around and go back because I'm not going to be comfortable riding this part and I can go back. They're probably two of the main things I picked up. Try to be relaxed. Don't panic too much. Try and avoid huge amounts of front brake input. And just, yeah, try and enjoy it. And then at the end of it, you can celebrate because you made that section of road. But I actually made myself as a learner. There were little areas I could go to where I knew there were dirt roads that may initially have been a kilometer long. And I would make myself ride down that dirt road just to get used to it.
I think the biggest tip that I just heard you say, and I'm going to double up on this. So if anybody was listening going, okay, what can I take away? Is you said, when I felt too tense, I was gripping the bars, I would stop and shake it out.
Yep.
That's something I want to reiterate. If you're new to going off-road, let's face it, it's going to be uncomfortable. It's something new. We're not just going to jump out and go, way, this is awesome. Standing up isn't normal when you're a street rider. Feeling the bike move isn't normal. And when you get to that stress level, as soon as that stress starts building up, it's really hard to dial it back. And stopping and shaking off or getting off the motorcycle and just taking a couple of deep breaths, making sure that we're relaxed, refocusing, where am I looking? How smooth am I on the throttle? And then continuing on is a fantastic tip for a new rider going off-road.
And I found it worked. There are other things, because the world has been a lockdown, that I've done that really surprised me how much they improved my riding. And one of the biggest ones was I went to the local hardware store, bought some wood and a little piece of log and made a balance board. And I was very surprised how big a change to my off-road riding that did. I would literally set it up and spend 45 minutes a night on the balance board watching the TV. And it really amazed me how much and it improved my counterbalancing and the feel of the bike, being able to balance the bike through my legs and work the pegs and things like that. It was quite amazing.
That's a fantastic idea. I've not had people do that, but I teach the concept of the weightless rider all the time and trying to stay up on top of the bike and really allowing the motorcycle to move freely underneath you. And that's a change for a lot of people. They feel that they need to be in control of the bike, that they tell the bike what to do. If the bike's leaning, they have to stand it up. And in fact, almost always we're in the way when we do that. and allowing that to move freely underneath me and to stay straight up and down is a really important skill to have. And that's a fantastic idea of having a centerpiece and putting a board over it like a teeter-totter and standing in the middle and learning to balance and just let everything move underneath you and getting comfortable with that. Great idea.
The other thing I did with that is I ended up putting a smaller piece of timber across the top. So essentially I was up on a simulation of a foot peg, if you like. And then I started wearing, because being an older rider and protection is something I'm interested in, so I moved in and started wearing motocross boots. I started standing there in my motocross boots and doing it, because then I got a feel for what it would be like with my motocross boots. And all of that translated in a little way as to giving me a little bit more feel for the bike, counterbalancing. I didn't have to think about it anymore. It happened. And I got used to my upper body being relaxed while my lower body was balancing on the board.
Rob, you just hit another nugget. The boots. I just did a video on this. Why I didn't just go straight to it, I don't know. But the idea that you put the boots on to balance is great. When I first got into adventure riding, I was riding a V-Strom 1000. And I bought a set of Alpinestar Tech 7s. And when I put them on, they felt like my snowboard boots. I mean, I couldn't feel anything. I walked around, they were tall. I'd get on the bike, I couldn't tell if I was using the brake. I couldn't tell if I was on top or below the shifter. And bike setup is important here. So you can set up those shifters so you can shift better with these big boots. And that's the top reason I'm given from people going, well, I don't wear motocross boots because I can't feel these, fill in the blank on the brand. And I've always said, if it says adventure in the name of the boot, it is not an ideal boot for off-road riding. Not that we wouldn't wear them, not that I don't wear boots that are, you know, heavy-duty touring boots as opposed to hardcore off-road boots. There's a right tool for every mission, and there's risks that we're willing to take with it. But getting in those boots, walking around in them, using the controls on them, getting on the bike, and practice shifting while the bike's on center stand, especially in the winter, is something that riders really do need to focus on when they're new. Because the same thing with gloves. You put a heavy gloves on when you first start riding, you can't feel any controls, but eventually we all wear gloves while we ride. And many of us wear very thick gloves in the winter while we ride. And it's okay, we get used to it. But for the boots, for some reason, people are far more resistant to that. And when you're new, this is when you need the safety gear the most. This is not the time to go through life thinking, well, let me get the really cheap stuff. Let me get the bottom end protection when I'm new. Because when you're new is when you're going to fall. That's when your risks are high. That's not the time. Spend more on your gear than your bike. And I really believe that.
And I mean, and I've gone to the point now where I'm getting fitted up for knee braces now because I'm getting a little bit more adventurous on the trails I'm taking. I'm making sure that my level of protection actually matches what I'm doing. I even carry two pairs of gloves because generally there's a large road section to get where we're going. So I have a nice set of road gloves. Once I hit the trail, I have a lighter set of motocross gloves, which give me a little bit more feel for the controls and a little bit cooler off-road.
I do the same thing. I carry a motocross gloves for off-road use as well. And that's a good point. You're upgrading your gear as your speed upgrades. The boots are something you need when you're brand new, because when we're new, we're going slower, but the chances of you coming off and getting caught under the panniers, soft or hard, doesn't matter, but getting pinned under the bike or under the panniers is greater. The likelihood of slipping off the peg and hitting the ground or throwing your feet down to maintain control is much higher when you're newer. However, you're probably going to fall down or crash at much lower speeds. And so you start thinking about, what about neck braces? What about heavy fixed armor underneath our riding gear? As you have knee braces. I don't fall down a lot. If I do, I either drop my bike or because it gets heavy and I'm like, well, 600 pounds. It's easier to pick it up than it is to save it. But I either drop the bike or I save up all my crashing for a really, really good one.
You know? So I was just going to say, you may as well do it properly.
Exactly. Exactly. When I do it, I'm going to make it count. But that's also a really good point for new riders, or on something to expect. Expect to spend money. Expect to be uncomfortable. Expect to slow down and have to breathe. And expect to have gear that isn't necessarily comfortable. And we're not talking about like it hurts, but comfortable as in, you're not accustomed to having that much restriction or lack of feel.
Yeah, and the other thing is, I mean, I subscribe to the old saying of cry once, buy once. So I will tend to buy the best level of gear that I can rather than go, well, that's cheaper, I will buy that and that will do.
Well, and being adventure riders, we're also in that older crowd. You and I are not at the peak of the bell curve.
No.
We've got about 5 years to hit the peak. And I look at this all the time. Who comes to me? Who trains with me? When I look at the stats for the videos and who watches what's going on, we're 55 plus or minus a decade. And that's our range, which means, debatably, that we're in a part of our life where we're still trying to get that excitement, but we're old enough to know that we can't do it the way we used to.
Yes.
We have some extra money because the kids have moved out and we're willing to spend money on learning how to do things and staying protected. But we're still young enough to be driven by some ego and we want to have the pretty stuff, the fancy stuff, and the things with the name on it. So,
True.
So it's kind of this sweet balance in there, but definitely we're smart enough to know we need things and we're willing to pay for those things. It's just when you're new, you don't know what you really need.
And look, I've discovered that coming back to adventure riding. I've been through quite a bit of gear because when I first started coming back in and riding dirt, I thought this was what I need. But then I've realized that, okay, that's not really. Boots were a good example. I started off with a set of adventure boots and then realized that, no, I need motocross boots. So it's an evolution, but it's worth jumping in at the beginning because you spend good money on gear and it's only going to last longer anyway.
It is. But again, the challenge is, what do you really need? I mean, if I bought motocross boots and my entire goal was to drive down a couple of gravel roads, it might be overkill. On the other hand, if you crash, it really doesn't matter. Yeah, I get this with the tires. Well, I need 90-10 tires. I only go off-road 10% of the time. That's the perfect tire. I'm like, yeah, but what's the road like that 10% of the time? Because if you're off-road 10% of the time and it's deep, gnarly mud and rocks and hills, then you need 90% dirt and 10% road. Suspension's the same way. When I rebuild my suspension, I focus on how I want the bike to act off-road and with a load, because that's when it's most critical for me to have it working the best. I can compensate on the road. I can compensate when the bike's light. And gear is often the same way. Don't think about how it is walking around town. Think about how it is when you slide out in a corner and you didn't feel it because you're new. And we don't know what is happening. When the first time that tire slides out from underneath you, by the time you notice it sliding out, it's already happened. And that's one of the things to expect when we're new. And that's where we started with this, is what do you expect when you're new? Well, expect things to happen that you didn't expect to happen. And then get back on the bike, figure out what you learned from it, and do it again. And know that next time you're going to have a sense of it happening just before it happens, but it's still going to happen until you get to the point where you can recognize it, read it, respond to it, or you have training to work around it.
Yeah. And the other thing I keep telling myself riding off-road, and I might be completely wrong on this, is in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, you know, my bike doesn't want to fall over. It will try and keep going as much as it wants to. So, you know, it's not trying to throw you off and slide down the road. It wants to stay upright if it can.
No, a lot of bikes work really hard at staying upright and the riders work really hard at putting them down. I see it all the time. Every time I teach a camper tour, here's an interesting observation I've made watching riders. And obviously I work with a lot of new to adventure riders. There's I quit mode. And that's just about the point when everything goes really, really smooth. When a new rider gets out there, they're stressed out. They have lots of energy and they get really stressed out and they fight the bike. And at a certain point, they get so fatigued, they just don't care anymore. And all of a sudden, everything works. The bike is more stable. They're more comfortable. Unfortunately, when you're brand new, that point usually comes after exhaustion. So it's a very short window between fighting the bike, everything goes right, and then everything goes wrong. And you've mentioned that stopping, thinking, figuring out where you are. And that's one of the pointers I want to throw out to anybody listening who's just getting into this is, if you're fighting it and you're feeling yourself stressed and all of a sudden everything's going perfect, that's a good time to slow down and stop and go, okay, what just changed? Why does it all of a sudden feel good? And how tired am I? Is it time to turn around? Let's stop on a high note. Let's stop when everything's going perfect and learn from it rather than pushing through and ending up with something ending poorly.
And I think that's also another important thing is don't be afraid to turn around and go back. It's not a bad thing.
This is about living life, however you want to define fun.
And it gives you some great stories at the end of the day.
As long as you survive.
Yes, as long as you survive, which is ultimately the aim of the game.
Okay, here's a loaded question, Rob. How much information did you get from forums?
On actually riding? Very little. very little. I got more information from forums on my bike and service items and things like that. I got more information probably from people like yourself with YouTube videos and obviously other social media where I would pick up little tips, things like in lockdown, spending time in the garage going, I'm going to set my controls up properly. I'm going to make sure I'm comfortable on the bike, or doing the walk around of the bike, have the bike balancing and finding its balance point and walking around it. I found more of that on social media and through YouTube channels like yours than forums, because I think on forums, everyone has an opinion and they're not necessarily all right.
That's a good point.
The reason I posted this question to you is what to expect as a new rider to dirt is there is lots of fantastic and wonderful information out there about riding an adventure bike and dirt, setting it up and what you can do. But there's always the pre-assumed knowledge that you know about riding a dirt bike, and it's not your first time to riding off-road. And it's daunting. When you first jump on a dirt road, it's daunting. So having this resource of information on how to do things or little tips and tricks, things you can practice at home, is just would be unbelievable.
Do you have any questions for me? I mean, this is your opportunity to ask me any kind of a raw question that you might have.
I've got too many questions. That is the problem.
Pick one. Anyone.
Is there any particular advice you would give someone who is venturing into what I'm going into that class three transition to improve their riding?
As you move into class three is really what we start getting true off-road obstacles or challenges. That's when we get that deep sand, that deep gravel. You know, we're not just on a hard pack surface with, you know, some sticks and potholes. Speed. I mentioned in that self-evaluation that speed is not a factor unless you're going too slow and you're working too hard, or you're going too fast and you're having near misses. What I would recommend to you is track that particular aspect of your development. If you're going through these different challenges, class three challenges, and you find yourself fatigued or struggling or going slow, then that gives you an idea that, okay, I'm not quite there. Don't push past that type of an obstacle yet. Not until you're able to pick up this pace and ride through and you're very comfortable. Also on the other side, if you start getting too much confidence and you find yourself having your mess or reacting to things, remember, we're always planning. We're never reacting. If you're reacting, you've done something wrong, with a rare exception.
And that's actually one of the things I find myself doing. There has been some certain tracks that I have been using as this is like a training ground. But what I find myself doing is when I feel that I'm comfortable riding that, rather than keep riding it and riding too fast, I will move to another track which is slightly more challenging to try and keep my skill level growing without getting overconfident and pushing myself on a road I think I know and I think I can ride faster than I can.
One of the pieces of advice that I hear so many people give that I disagree with is you just need to get out there and do it. And practice makes perfect. And I disagree with both of those terms most of the time. Practice does not make perfect. Practice makes habits. And if you're practicing poorly, you're building bad habits. It has to be right. And just get out there and do it. Well, if you're just getting out there and doing it and you're doing it wrong, that's not necessarily good. However, that repetition, that do it, when we go back to evaluating your speed, as your speed picks up, what that's an indication of is the more times you do something, the quicker you are about assessing what's going to happen. That's where repetition makes a difference. When you're going through these class three scenarios, the first time you go through sand, you're like, wow, that looks really bad. I wonder what's going to happen. And your front end wiggles all over the place. You're like, whoa, that was awful. And then you see some other sand. You're like, okay, I remember last time it wiggled. And then this time it does it differently. And you go, well, what was different? Well, there might be a very subtle difference in how it lays on the ground or the color or the texture or the grain or even the terrain that's around it, indicating that this is very deep versus something that's very shallow. And it's the repetition through that that allows you to spot it and to process it accurately. And that's when your speed picks up. When your speed is picking up, but you're not feeling any more pressure, where you're not feeling stressed out, where you're still able to think through everything, everything's a plan. That's when you know that that skill is developing. And that's one of the things you're going to find moves you from the rookie to transitional to proficient. Because proficient is when you're able to multitask. You're not burning energy. You're relaxed. It's the same as riding on pavement. That's because when we're on the pavement, we look down the road, we know what's going to happen, and it doesn't stress us out. That speed is a great indicator of whether you're moving from transitional into proficient, because your speeds will naturally pick up, usually to the limit of your vision. And that's usually the cap. At some point, you won't go any faster because you can't see. You can't see any better. And as we get older, that speed may drop back down. And that's why you'll notice speed is not part of my evaluation, self-evaluation on what level you're at, because you and I are both around 50. Well, when we're 60, I'm guaranteeing you and I aren't going to be riding the same speed, but does it mean we're less skilled? And I'm going to say no. I'm going to close this up with just a reminder to all of you that are listening. If you're new, expect to hear a lot of advice from a lot of people and listen, but always consider the source. Compare it against other sources. As Rob mentioned, he would look for a common theme, and he would look for a common theme in people that were reputable or experts or professionals or books or these sort of things, and look for that. Expect to be uncomfortable with some of the changes, the movement in the motorcycle, the reaction to the bike with your inputs, how when you tense up, how it reacts, when you add throttle, when you brake, how it acts. Be open to the idea that you may spend more on your safety gear than you are the motorcycle you're getting into the sport with, because that's what matters most. Be open to the idea that you're going to want other people around or need other people to do this. When you first start out, going out on your own can be a very dangerous scenario. If something goes bad, you don't necessarily recognize trouble before it happens when you're brand new. Find groups, social media groups, riding groups, people who will go out with you. So if there's a problem, you have help with you. And recognize that that may be part of the need to get into it and to do it safely.
Yes. Yep, exactly. And I think the other thing I've learned is that the journey is the best part of the destination. The fun you have going out for a ride and the freedom of being able to just, what's down that fire trail? Let's have a look. Is one of the things that draws me and has drawn me to the adventure bike riding.
I think that's a great summary about what this is all about. One last parting thought as we sign off here is I always tell everybody, smile while you ride because attitude matters. And this is probably the best podcast so far to really drive that point. If you're out on that bike and you're scared, you forget to smile. If you're out there and your bike is falling down and you're picking it up and you're getting frustrated, you're getting tired, you forget to smile. And when you forget to smile, you get tense. And your attitude goes downhill, your vision drops, your thoughts cloud, and you have to remember that attitude matters. It really does. It keeps you safe. It makes sure that you're still having fun. Just remember, you're the one that chose to go out there, and you're the one that picked that route. have a good time. You're living life. Life is short. Enjoy every day while you can.
Exactly. I couldn't agree more.